Well, thank you, young people. Sort of young. I'm not sure why Andrew and Shirley are up there, but they're just there to help. But that's good. Lovely to see Naomi and Esther there on the piano and digital. Susie on the flute. Josh leading. And a couple of old girls up on the door. They just slipped into youth group their last couple of months before they're too old. Can you believe that? Claire and Abby. Well, normally on a Sunday evening, I'm looking at the rise and fall of King Saul. But because it's to do with youth, I thought I'd do something in regards to a little bit of what we've been doing at youth group and how it might relate to that. Been looking at the disciples of the Lord Jesus in youth group and various aspects of that. One thing we've noticed through mainly the history books and is that most of the disciples came to a rather abrupt end. They didn't quite get to live a long, happy life, so to speak. And their life was taken from them, some rather gruesomely, for the sake of the gospel. Yet one of the disciples, as Jesus said, wasn't going to die that way. He was going to die of old age, and that was the Apostle John. And we notice that when it comes to the book of Revelation and the things that took place with John, he's an old man by now, maybe in his 80s or 90s, somewhere around there. One of the encouraging things that I said to the youth group is that he was a man where we were able to read his whole life story. Not everything he did, but we see how as a young man he met the Lord Jesus. He forsook everything and he followed the Lord. And he decided that this was the one that he was going to follow for the rest of his life. And then we can turn over to the book of Revelation and we see him as an old man. And he's done exactly that. He's followed the Lord all his life. And he still has that love and that passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably more so than what he did when he was younger. And my challenge to the young people then was, seek to follow the Lord all your life. That's a wonderful testimony. It's lovely to have young people say, I love the Lord and I'm going to put him first in my life and I'm going to serve him. But it's even wonderful when you can hear an older person say, when I was young, I decided to do that and I'm still doing it today. And when you do that, there are blessings for you along the way. And we're going to see one of the blessings that John got to enjoy because he continued to serve the Lord. So let's pray. And then we'll have a look at that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can serve the risen Saviour, that we can still serve that same Lord Jesus Christ that all those disciples chose to serve as well. And Lord, I do pray that we would be found faithful. Some of us will get to live a very long life. And I pray that at the end of that life, our love for you will have increased. And we would be able to reflect back and see your goodness to us and how you've kept us over those years. For some of us, you may choose to cut our life shorter than what we might have thought. But I pray that even the life that you've given us will be one of faithfulness. And we will praise you for each day you give us. And so, Lord, we ask that as we stop and consider some things that we learn from the book of Revelation, that you would above all, exalt yourself this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we get to the book of Revelation, if you'd like to turn there in chapter 1, we discover that the Apostle John is an old man, and because of his testimony in preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been sentenced to the island of Patmos. Patmos today and also in the past in his day was a rocky, dry place where not much was going on. And I suspect they thought they would be able to get John out of the way and he would stop telling people about Jesus. But unbeknownst to John, this rocky place was going to become a wonderful place of blessing because he was going to see his Saviour once again. And if we look there, and we have a look there in verse 9, it says of chapter 1, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches that are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, and white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And so John got to see Jesus once again, the man that he spent 3 years with, listening to, speaking with. He saw him die, he saw him buried, and he saw him rise again. But now, years later have passed, and he sees his friend, and he's very different. He sees him in a glorified state, and the beauty that he had there. But things only got better for John, because after this we learned that he was invited to go into heaven and see some amazing things. I imagine if Jesus appeared and says, I want to take you to heaven for a little while, I think it'd be a bit scary. But nonetheless, if it took place, I suspect it would blow your mind. I'm sure you'd be very different afterwards. I suspect you'd witness a lot more. You would sin a lot less. Death would be far less scary because you know what's coming ahead. You'd be looking forward to that, yet wanting to serve the Lord faithfully until that time. And this happened to the Apostle John. And John saw some incredible things. He was taken up, we read in chapter 4, and he saw a rainbow-circled throne. And he saw 24 elders around the throne, seated. He saw four beasts that were created beings. And we read in chapter 4, verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And so he saw an amazing sight, a sight that we're going to see one day if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But John saw even more things in chapter 5. And the one thing that I want to point out is found in verse 11. If we have a look there, we'll start at verse 11. In chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." And so, as he was there, he saw millions of angels around the throne. All these powerful beings were with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what were they doing? They were worshipping the Lamb. Worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. All the angels, all the beasts, all the elders worship the Lord Jesus. You know, it's sad how these mighty beings are happy to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus and worship him, but us pathetic little humans often aren't willing to do so. But what I want to bring to your attention is what the angels were saying in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." I want us to particularly look at verse 12 here, where it says that Jesus is worthy of seven things. These angels and these beasts and the elders declared he is worthy of seven things. And I want you to understand that the seven things that these beings say that Jesus is worthy to receive from them, he's also worthy to receive from us. He deserves us to recognize them in him. Where we say, "Jesus, I admit that you are like these things as well." If these powerful beings that have far greater glory and power than us are able to say that, say this, well then surely we should be able to as well. And so I want to look briefly at these seven things that they said Jesus is worthy to receive. And I want to put to you, does he receive them from you? We just read here that there are millions of beings in heaven that constantly say, "Jesus, we acknowledge that you deserve these things." But does he receive it from you as well? He should be, particularly if you are a born-again believer. And so let's have a look at what they say he is worthy of. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive," first of all, power. Jesus is worthy to receive power. We could say in this way, he is worthy to receive all authority, all control. He deserves to have all power over heaven and everything in heaven, but even more so over all earth and everything that is in the earth. And that means he deserves power or authority and control over each one of us as well. You hear many say, "Well, this is my life. I'm going to live it the way that I want to live it." And they think that they don't think that Jesus is worthy to receive all the power over them. So they're the one that created themselves. They're the one that determines their life and where they spend eternity. But what he deserves is for each one of us to say to him, "Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you made me, you died for me, you rose again for me, you sit in glory, you saved me, and you own me. I will do whatever you want me to do because that is what you deserve." And we take ourselves off that throne of control where we often think that we deserve to sit, and we acknowledge that Jesus is our Saviour and He deserves complete control over us. This is something that each one of us need to be willing to do and surrender. I remember coming to that point in my life. Prior to that, I used to think that God had to fit into my life. I had my plans, my decisions, my direction. And God, if you can fit yourself into my plans, well then, I'm happy with that. But I have things that I'm going to do, and you just have to fit into that. As though I'm the one in control of my life. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of people that have that very same concept today. I was a bit afraid to let God be in control. I thought He might make me miserable if I let Him be the one that decides everything. And then one night I surrendered. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. Go wherever You want me to go. Be whatever You want me to be. From now on, You're in control. And that's when my life changed. And you know, that is something we need to do on a daily basis, really. Where we die to self. And we allow Christ to be the one who is in control of our life. Can I ask you, who has the power or control of your life? Who controls your eyes? Who controls your ears, your mouth, your mind, your body, where it goes? I know He has heard from millions upon millions of angels that He deserves the control over them. But has the Lord Jesus heard it from your mouth? Where you say, Lord Jesus, You are worthy of having all power over me. Has He heard it from you? Well, that's what He deserves. Second thing we see here is that He deserves to receive all riches. He deserves all riches. Jesus is worthy of this. Even though the Lord Jesus made everything that we consider to be valuable, and even though He doesn't actually need anything from us, the fact is He deserves all riches given to Him. You know, we can't give Him $10 million and say, well, I think I've given more than You deserve, Lord. We can't say that I've given above and beyond what Jesus deserves to receive from me. No, He's worthy of all riches. You know, don't think the 10% that you might give on the Lord's Day as a tithe is more than enough that Jesus deserves. Better way of thinking of it is that the Lord has it all. He has all our money. It's His. My home, my car, my jewelry, whatever else, that it is all His. And I am happy for Him to use it all if that's what He so desires, to bring glory to His name. Because He's worthy to receive all riches. But the reality is, not everything that is rich to us or dear to us is more like money. There's probably something even more dearer to us than money, and that is time. And He's worthy of all that as well. Anything that is important to us is the riches that we should be given. You know, He is worthy of all our time and all our money. And the reality is, He's given us both. He gives us time. He gives us life. And He deserves it all to be given back to us. Anything good that we have in regards to material things, every good gift comes from the Father of lights. He's the one that's given it to us in the first place. And He deserves it to be given all back if that's what He wishes. Yet for many believers, they won't give Him any of that. They won't give Him time. They won't give Him their riches. Do you have the attitude that where you're honest, willing to honestly say, Lord, You're worthy to receive all my time. And if You want me to give all my time to You, You've got it. If You want me to give all my riches, everything I have, You've got it. You're worthy of it all. You know, the Lord says you need time to eat, sleep, work. he understands that there's certain things where you can't just sit there and pray 24/7. But even when we're eating and drinking or whatsoever we do for his glory anyway. But it should be something that pleases him. And so he deserves all our riches as well. But then it says, as we go on, to receive wisdom. He deserves all wisdom. Now, we can't give Jesus wisdom, can we? He has all the wisdom. There's no piece of advice or wisdom that we can give the Lord. Even though sometimes in our prayer, don't we try and give him a little bit of wisdom? Lord, I don't know if you've really thought this one through, but I'll let you know the best way for it to work, all right? Just in case you haven't sorted it out for yourself. We think we can give him a bit of wisdom, yet the reality is he has all wisdom now. But there's one thing that we can give him, and that is the recognition that he is the one with all the wisdom. Too often we act as though we're the wise ones, that we're worthy of at least some wisdom, when we need to acknowledge that God is the one that has all the wisdom. And if the Lord says to go this way, we go that way. We don't decide to go this way thinking that we know better. You know, we need to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. You know, when was the last time you went to the Lord for help and guidance because you acknowledged that he is the one that knows better than you? You know, when it comes to something in God's word and God says, this is the best way, have you been willing to forsake what and not lean to your own understanding but choose to do things God's way for one reason and one reason only, and that is because God has said it? And you have chosen to listen to God instead of the wisdom of the world, maybe your own heart, maybe some intellectual people in a university, you've chosen to ignore all of them and chose to listen to God and do things his way because he deserves all wisdom. You know, by your prayer life and how you deal with situations, does the Lamb of Heaven see someone who acknowledges that he has all wisdom? He deserves to be recognized as having that from you. And the next one is very similar as well. He deserves to receive all strength. You know, strength is, we could use that, interpret that a few ways, the ability to do something, the might to do something. And again, we can't give any strength to the Lord Jesus. He is the all-powerful one. But we can acknowledge that he is the one with all the power. He's the one who deserves to be recognized as having all the power. You know, the angels know it. Even though they have greater power than us, they're happy to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the one that deserves all the strength and acknowledge that he has all the strength and ability. You know, even the devils know that as well. Remember when Jesus met that man that was full of demons, a legion of demons. We don't have recorded, they said, well, there's a legion of us. I think we can take him. I think we have enough power here. No, they went and they fell before the feet of the Lord Jesus and they begged him not to torment them before their time. They knew they had met the King of Heaven, the Almighty One. They knew he had great strength and ability. They acknowledged it. And he deserves that same recognition from us. Now, I was wondering about that. Well, how do we acknowledge that he is mighty? How do we acknowledge that he can do all things? Well, there's a few ways. We can talk about it. We can sing about it. And that's what we often do. But the fact is, the best way to show our Lord that he is the one with all the strength is to actually live it. Believe it and live it. You know, fear and doubt don't show it. Trust and obedience does. You know, and I've used the example before. I've done it at Kids Club over the years as well, where I've got a child to come up and stand on this thing here and say, "Do you believe I'm strong enough to catch you?" And they'll usually say, "Yes." And so I say, "Well, close your eyes and just fall back, and I promise I'll catch." And then you realize, find out who actually really thinks I have the strength and the ability to do that. Some say, "Oh, no, I'm not going to do that." Others will just trust and fall back, probably unwisely, I might add, right? But they still do it. But they show it through what they do. And that is the best way that we can recognize or show the Lord Jesus that we believe that he has the might and the strength and the ability to do what he says by actually trusting him. Where we do something in obedience to him for no other reason than the reality is he said he will keep his word and we trust that he's able to keep it. No other reason. And you know, when we trust him like that, I suspect that sounds out a praise in heaven that rings in the ears of the angels far more than any song that we may sing about it when we've actually put it into practice. Look at this one who acknowledges that the Lamb has all strength and all ability. They're willing to trust him and forsake everything else. Does the Lord Jesus receive all recognition of strength in your life? He deserves that too. Goes on to say there that he deserves also not just wisdom and strength, but also honor. He deserves honor. All honor given to him. Honor just speaks about respect, consideration. You know, we're told to honour our parents. How do you honour your parents? There's a number of ways. It's just not like, oh, this is the one little thing. You do that and you've honoured them. You know, honouring probably can be a message in itself. But honouring is obeying. Honouring is listening to their advice. It is considering their feelings. And probably even greater still, you're not doing anything that would shame them. Where you may want to do something, but you know that it'll bring shame to your parents. And so out of honor for them, you choose not to do it. You want to honor them. It's the same with honoring our Savior. We obey him. We listen to him. We understand or accept that he knows best. But above all, we certainly don't want to bring shame to him. And you know, there are a lot of things that we can do as Christians that we have the liberty to do, so to speak. But out of honor for our Savior, we will choose not to do them. Because we don't want to dishonor him. We don't want to lower his name in the sight of sinful man. Jesus is more than worthy for us to act in a way that brings honor to him. When people see him or see us, he is the one that is acknowledged and praised. They don't scoff and say, "Well, that's one of his children." That's what they do. You know, we need to be showing and giving him all the respect that he deserves. Then number six, we see that he deserves all glory. All glory. Glory simply means praise. How often do you praise God? We're really good at asking things from God, aren't we? We are experts at going to him and asking for things. But are we experts in praising him? In thanking him for what he's done? You know, in a world who godless society who loves to glorify something or someone, we're very good at glorifying sports people. and putting them up there in the spotlight and discussing their abilities and praising them and so on. And okay, that's a part of our psyche, I guess, as humans. But if anyone should be there where we talk about him and share about how great he is and mighty he is and have the spotlight in our heart and our mind, it should be the Lord more than anything else. It should be the case when we talk, that we talk and praise him, and we actually sing about him as well. Jesus deserves to be spoken well of. He doesn't deserve to hear us complaining about him, whinging about him, accusing him of not being just or unfair. It's coming to him with a heart full of gratitude. Is that the sort of heart and attitude that he gets from you? When you kneel or bow your head in prayer, what does he hear? Oh, they're whinging again. Can they never be happy? Why do they always think I'm doing the wrong thing? Why do they always think they know better than me? Or does he hear a voice lifting up praise and thanks? He's worthy of all that. Our thoughts and words should be full of thanks to our Saviour. You know, it's interesting. I think I missed one. Oh, yeah. The next one is blessing. That's the last one. It says there, honour and glory and blessing. And that's very similar to praising, where we heap adoration upon him, where we speak fine words about him. And as I was going to say, it's interesting how we have recorded here, this is how the angels of heaven speak about the Lord Jesus. And they aren't even redeemed creatures, yet they think they have enough to praise him about. In fact, some stand there before the throne and just continually say, "Holy, holy, holy." They can't get that out enough. How unique he is, how special he is, how above everyone else he is. You know, that concept of holiness isn't just without sin, but it's meaning it's separate from everything else, unique. That's another nice word to talk about, refer to the Lord. Unique. Unique, unique. There's no one like you. Nothing in this earth, heaven or earth, compares to you. You are so unique. That's why you are worthy of all my praise, all the glory, all the blessing, all the wisdom, and so on. And these beings are happy to do that, and they haven't been redeemed. They have only got half a story. They've got a story of being created by God and being able to worship him. We've got a story of how we have rejected God and we've sinned against him in ways that we just deserve a righteous God to punish for eternity. Yet due to his love, he was willing to die for us. Take that sin upon himself and bear it so we can be saved from our sin. We are the redeemed. We should be able to say, "You deserve everything, because without you I am nothing." And so can I leave you with this thought this evening? Through your life, does the Lord Jesus receive all the power he deserves, all the riches he deserves, all the wisdom, the strength, the honour, glory and blessing that he deserves? We need to worship our King and the Lamb every day of our life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our Saviour, the one that is seated on your right hand this very moment, the one who came to earth and redeemed us, and they were seated in the heavenlies. Thank you That, Lord, that is where we are seated when we are your children through faith. Thank you that while we're upon this earth, we are your workmanship, and that we are designed, or you want to create us to be like our Saviour, that he may be glorified. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that he deserves every bit of us, and that he would receive all that he deserves from us and from the angels in heaven. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.